So earlier in the show, we met filmmaker Holly Morris, who made a documentary called The Babushkas of Chernobyl. And it's about the old women who live inside the toxic exclusion zone around the Chernobyl nuclear site. And that area is one of the most toxic environments on Earth. But that doesn't bother them. There's this great moment in Holly's documentary where three of the surviving babushkas get together for Easter. They kiss each other hello. They sing a drinking song. They do shots of vodka. And then they reminisce about the day of the accident, which was right around Easter. One of them says, I was one of the first to come back. She says, when I got here, I kneeled down, I grabbed a handful of soil, I put it in my mouth. And then she says, I will never leave here again. And then they do more shots. These women are surrounded by toxins, but they're surviving, even thriving, says Holly Morris. Here's her TED Talk.
Now, around Chernobyl, there are abandoned villages, bucolic, charming. Many were buried under at the time of the accident. All are totally contaminated. Others have one or two babushkas, or babas. That's the Russian and Ukrainian words for grandmother, who live in them. Other villages might have six or seven women in them. So this is the strange demographic of the zone, isolated, alone, together. And when I made my way to a village, it was called Kupovate, I met Hanna Zavorotnya, the self-declared mayor of Kupovate Village, population 8. And she told me when I asked her the obvious question, radiation doesn't scare me, starvation does. Now you have to remember, these are people who have survived the worst atrocities of the 20th century, Stalin's enforced famines of the 1930s, which killed millions of Ukrainians. In the 40s, the Nazis came through, raping, killing, and in fact, many of these women were shipped to Germany as forced labor. So when a couple decades into Soviet rule, Chernobyl happened, they were unwilling to flee in the face of an enemy that was invisible. So they return to their villages and are told they're going to get sick and die soon. But 5 happy years, the thinking goes, is better than 10 stuck in a high-rise on the outskirts of Kiev, separated from their gardens, the graves of their mothers and fathers, their children. For them, environmental contamination may not be the worst sort of devastation. And this holds true for other species as well. Wolves, wild boar, lynx, they've all returned to the zone in force. The dead zone, it turns out, is full of life.
So that's interesting that things are still, growing and thriving in the dead zone, but I have to assume it's still really dangerous, right? I mean, when you were filming there, weren't you, worried about your own safety?
Yeah. We filmed in teams, and the sum total of our time inside the zone was about 18 days. And, the people disagree, and scientists and everybody else, about how much time inside the zone today is okay, or how dangerous it is or it isn't. And you can go to the zone for a day, even as a tourist. You're quite limited in where you can go and what you can do, but it is possible to go there. But the bottom line, the one thing everyone agrees on is less time is better and more is worse. And of course, you try to avoid the highly contaminated areas around the reactor and the Red Forest and certain areas.
So when you're there, do you just walk around with a radiation detector all the time to know, where the danger is?
Yeah. Well, you do have a dosimeter, Geiger counter, with you at all times, so you don't, in case you stumble across something. And, that clicking can drive you crazy because it is the constant reminder that you are in a radioactive zone, which is easily forgettable when the villain is invisible. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't hear it. So it's that clicking dosimeter that keeps you on your toes. And the women of the zone are, you know, of course, they've chosen to live there. So, you know, if you show up and, of course, like so many women of that part of the world, the first thing you got to do is eat. And the first rule of visiting the zone is do not eat the local food. So it is a delicate matter, especially when you're trying to make a film, to say no to the food or the drink.
Would you pop in and sleep somewhere else for the night?
Yeah. So we stayed in Kiev and then essentially commuted to the zone every day. A couple of hours to the zone border. You're in at 9. You have to be out by 5. There's a curfew. You can only enter the zone for so many consecutive days. A lot of bureaucracy around the exclusion zone.
But you just like wear regular clothes, right?
Did wear regular clothes, although I have to say I threw them out after each and every visit. Because, you know, there are higher levels of background radiation inside the zone. But there is dust. So, you know, dusty days, for example, are not good. Usually the beautiful, lovely, breezy days are the most dangerous. And here is the really surprising truth. There's evidence that the women who have returned to their homes and lived for the last 30 years off some of the most toxic land on Earth have actually outlived their counterparts who accepted relocation. By some estimates, up to 10 years. I mean, how could this be? I mean, here's a theory. Could it be that those ties to home actually affect longevity? The power of motherland, so intransigent to that part of the world, seems almost palliative. By avoiding relocation trauma, which is devastating to anybody, but especially the elderly, they've actually stayed happier and thus healthier. It turns out home and community are forces that rival even radiation. And for the stalkers, you know, who are the first generation disconnected from the ties to land and community, I think they sense that disconnect and are searching for something new. Now, radiation or not, the women of the zone are at the end of their lives. But the spirit and existence of the babushkas, whose numbers have been halved in the 5 years I've known them, will leave us with powerful new ideas to think about and grapple with, about the relative nature of risk, about transformative connections to home, and about the magnificent tonic of personal agency and self-determination. Thank you.
That's Holly Morris. The Babushkas of Chernobyl is a pretty incredible film. You can hear more about it in Holly's full TED Talk at TED.com. Hey, thanks for listening to our show, Toxic, this week. If you want to find out more about who is on it, go to ted.npr.org. To see hundreds more TED Talks, check out ted.com or the TED app. Our production staff at NPR includes Jeff Rogers, Brent Bachman, Megan Kane, Neva Grant, Sanaz Meshkinpour, and Casey Herman, with help from Daniel Shukin. Our intern is Camilo Garzon. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Kelly Stetzel, and Janet Lee. You can write us at tedradiohour@npr.org, and you can follow us on Twitter. It's @tedradiohour. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to Ideas Worth Spreading right here on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.